This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Folks, this is it. The Lakers have to get it in. James wants it. Oh, no! No, it's short! James, it'll come! It's over! It's over! Your Charlotte Hornets win here in L.A.
Nico Cookin to start off the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, and the Hornets win the play-in tournament based upon that play-by-play call.
Yeah, don't give him any credit. Don't do that. Nobody wants to hear that. Nico sucks.
Well, you may not want to hear it, but as you wrote in the email last night, can't make up your mind yet. You did write that.
You can't make up your mind yet in terms of
For the few Mavs fans left, I wonder what the mentality is.
Oh, there's
so many Mavs fans who are now rooting for Luka and by proxy the Lakers. But we haven't asked, you know, the Mavs fans who are still here, the MFFLs, if they're a little bit happy when Luka struggles. To have Nico be right as the general manager of your team and lose back-to-back games against the Jazz and the Hornets. It's probably not a root against Luka thing.
Yeah, they're not rooting against him.
But when you have stat lines and performances like last night and see the Lakers lose against scrubs, what are you thinking?
Some of the perspective I saw last night after the game was Luka's hurt. He's clearly just working back.
Took him off the minutes restriction, apparently.
Luka's got the Mavericks coming up. He's ramping up to them. And then one of the other common ones is Luka's still so depressed about the trade. Look what you've done to it. So they're still...
Yeah.
Nico still is villainized in this, no matter what it is.
Well, like, you know, also, it's, you know, rooting against... There's a lot of fans that who are still here, that are still rooting for the team, that... You know, you don't have to necessarily root against Luka. They're just rooting for the Mavericks.
Right.
You know, they don't care at this point what Luka does. What he does doesn't matter. Like, the Lakers, as far as their... See, the Mavericks are still up in the air where it's not a failure or success of a trade. It's already a success for the Lakers. They traded old for young. It's over for them. They've won the trade from their perspective.
Yeah.
Because they got what they wanted, which was another window.
Yep.
The Mavericks, what they did was... They took their long window, made it a short one, and they believe it's a better, more open window for a couple of years. So, for them, it doesn't matter what Luka does.
But for some of the fans, and there's a handful, who said, hey, we can't keep preaching and crying about culture, then they make a culture move, and then we criticize it, you maybe take some delight in Luka getting torched by LaMelo. Or the 5 turnovers in the first 6 minutes, or, you know, watching some of the struggles in terms of the shooting percentage. Those diehard Mavs fans and anti-Luka people, are feeling pretty good a handful of games in.
Yeah, I saw there was, I think I saw one or two last night that had said something, like tweeted a Brad Townsend or somebody else, and a fan just saying, oh, maybe Nico's not such an idiot. But, I mean, it does feel very much like on the Luka trade, the lines were drawn on just what you were going to think about it. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to either just, these are all the reasons why I was ultimately right, or these are all the reasons why, you know, Nico was ultimately right. And I just think it breaks on lines of that are like 99.5 to 0.5 on the fan base.
Plus, it's an immediate loss for Nico right now because Anthony Davis got hurt in the first game.
Yes.
Like, all the worries, all the concern, all the anger got proven immediately. We didn't have to wait. Now, you ultimately do have to wait a year or two, or maybe you're just never going to care because you wanted Luka Doncic wearing Mavs blue and number 77 forever, and if that wasn't going to happen, you decided in your mind it was a loss, and as a fan, you have that right. But Nico takes the big fat L early on. He gets a lowercase W right now, but he's got the big fat L because Anthony Davis is not playing.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it yet, obviously, because I don't follow the Laker fan culture. I'm curious to see if they're complaining yet.
Right.
Like, okay, dude, this is three games now. You're not shooting very efficiently. You're turning the ball over a ton. Like, let's get it together a little bit. I do think there's got to be, as with anybody, a 3 or 4 game grace period after you've missed a month.
Yep.
But not just that. We talked about this. Luka and LeBron is not, to me, as talented as both of them are, that's not an easy just snap your fingers and, oh, look, they play together so well.
Like, who's the leader?
They both play very ball dominant. So for them to be, especially Luka, to have to be off the ball and just kind of standing around the wing and moving around, that's an awkward fit for him.
I don't know that Luka will be his full self until LeBron retires. Like, I don't think they both can be sitting out there. Because whose team is it? Like, Luka has played his entire NBA career with it being basically his team.
Yep.
And now it's like, all right, is he deflected? This is just like LeBron when he got to Miami. When LeBron first got to Miami, he was, even in the finals, he was like kind of deferring over to Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of your team here.
KD, I remember Steph. Those fourth quarters.
You what?
I remember those fourth quarters in the finals.
KD, Steph. Like, it's a difficult chemistry transition. You know, it's easy for AD. AD plays off the ball. You know, it's easy for him.
Yep.
Or easier. The hard thing for him to stay on the floor. If for Luka going there, when you're going to somebody else's team and you're a ball dominant guy, how do you play?
Yeah, and he doesn't play well off the ball. We all know that.
No.
He had a catch and shoot. I'll never forget this. NBA Finals pregame, and Luka had a catch and shoot in warmups, and I stopped down and had to like rewatch it 5 times because I was like, I've never seen this before. I've never seen him just catch the basketball and shoot it. It's always coming off a step back. It's always coming off his own dribble. It's always coming off his own creation. And this is what all the first fake shows will be covering today. Whose team is it? Because the way this game ended up in this loss to the Hornets, LeBron took the final 2 threes. Now, you do need context. If you watched the game and paid attention, LeBron had a hot hand in the fourth quarter. He scored 16 in the fourth. Luka scored 5 on 2 of 5 shooting. So what they're going to say afterwards, and we'll see if it's right, is it's going to alternate. It's going to depend who's got the hot hand. I still believe deep down, for all the talking LeBron James does, and for all the right things that he wants to say, it's still probably his team.
Yeah.
All right? If it's Game 7, Western Conference playoff series, game tied, and both of them are 2 of 6 in the fourth quarter, and both have scored 26 points in the game, the ball is going to LeBron for the final possession and shot to see what he does. That's what I believe right now. He doesn't really want to give that up.
No, 100%. I think it's LeBron's shot right now. Should it be? I wouldn't think so. I would probably want Luka taking that shot if I was a Lakers fan. Now, they haven't seen, obviously everybody saw Luka as just a massive star, so everybody around the country is familiar with him, but they're probably not as familiar with just the game-to-game. Luka, 14 seconds left, you're down to, isolating him is a pretty decent bet. Like, it's a, you're usually going to get a pretty good look at a three or a shot to tie it and put it out, and he's got that level up anger intensity in those moments a lot of times where we saw it against Rudy Gobert in the West Finals last year when he knocked down that three after putting him on skates. So I would want Luka taking that shot, but I think you're right. I think it's going to be LeBron's. It will be LeBron's shot until LeBron doesn't want to play basketball anymore.
Or until even if he's a little bit dinged up, it's still going to be his shot. It's his team. It's his shot. So that's the way it is. It's the way it is in this league.
Luka, after a back-to-back loss, this time against the Hornets.
Obviously, you know, it's going to take a little time. Today, a lot of rustiness from my part. So start the game with like 4 or 5 turnovers. That can't happen. So it's got to, play the basketball the right way.
Just overall, how would you assess the offensive process and the 3 games you played, just not just yourself, but the team as a whole?
I think it was good, and obviously, like I said, I'm getting a little time just to adjust to everything, but I think it was fine today. I think we had some good opportunities to make shots, but we didn't make any shots, especially me, so, just get a little time to get used to it.
Meanwhile, the Dallas Mavericks have finally found a big man that they've actually had before. 7'2" center Moses Brown has been signed to a 10-day contract, has been an NBA journeyman out of UCLA, debuted in 1920 with the Blazers, 159 games over his career. Portland, OKC, Mavericks, Cavs, Clippers, Nets, Pacers. Most recently, 9 games in Indiana, 3 points, 1 rebound, 5 minutes a game.
It's a long career.
Yeah, and you didn't even mention the Texas Legends, the Oklahoma City Blue, the Ontario Clippers, like all the G League teams underneath that he played for.
Yeah.
I mean, he's problem solved. 10-day contract for Moses Brown. That fixes a lot of it.
I don't think people name their kid Moses enough. You see Christian a lot. Muhammad. I don't think Moses. I think we need to see more Moseses out there.
Just trying to find a body until all of your bigs come back. AD, yeah. This is another sign of Nico's Nike Navy SEALs, that they haven't come out with any type of added injury update on him. I didn't know you could get away with this in terms of the league reports. Kyle Shanahan would be proud. And then Lively, and you're still talking a lot more time for Daniel Gafford.
The All-Star week was a blessing for Nico Harrison.
Oh, it really was.
Because you just saying it right there, I forgot that they hadn't said anything officially on Anthony Davis yet.
Well, you also bought yourself a week. You mm-hmm. bought yeah. yourself a week of having to wait without having to play a game. Some of the league got going last night. The Mavs don't play till what, tomorrow? So they get an extra 2 days for everybody else.
And they only played last night because that was a wildfire makeup game.
Yeah, and so, I mean, look, this is, when you're signing Moses Brown to just get you by and see through to the other side, you've clearly got a ton of depth issues and there are bigger problems than you're going to be able to easily fix within the season. You just need to get healthy. And right now, it doesn't look like there's an easy path to them getting healthy anytime soon.
They are in the number 8 spot, 1 game behind the Wolves, 2 games behind the Clippers, and a game and a half up on the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors, who Draymond said is winning the championship during the All-Star break.
That. Yeah, I mean, they got Jimmy. Yeah, playoff Jimmy.
Yes.
If you can get him to play on the floor. If you can get him on the floor, you got a chance.
All right, so Luka and the Lakers lose. What a perfect opportunity for them to just start off 3-0 with Utah, Charlotte, and they go win, loss, loss. So
that was and Charlotte only had 4 road wins coming into this game. You cannot lose to Charlotte at home.
Yeah, but that was LaMelo really playing hard for LeVar's foot. That's what that was.
He's home. Yeah. He's back home.
LeVar Ball getting the foot amputated. As a Tolo sent me the message of, I guess now you cannot say never lost. 877-881-1053. Franco LaFranco, injury attorney, text line. He's supposed to be doing well, so that's why we're sitting there and making the joke. Jason Whitlock, man, if you had the odds of LeVar Ball or Jason Whitlock losing a foot first, who would it have been? After LeVar called him a fat ass on Cowherd.
Oh, no.
All right, the jokes are being made about Stephen Jones. NFL spending is going through the roof. What will be the Cowboys' excuse now? And Lawrence Taylor going after Micah Parsons? That's next on Sean and RJ. Thanks for waking up with us. Thursday edition, just getting started on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let the jokes pour in on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line about the Cowboys and Stephen Jones not spending with the salary cap increase yesterday. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby with you here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, otherwise known as your official home of the Cowboys and the Rangers. The salary cap is going up, going to fall in the range of $277 and $281 million. That is an increase from last year's cap of $255 and the 2023 cap of $224. So about a $53 million spending increase for teams over the past two seasons.
Yep, and just year over year, about $26 million. And there were a number of teams, Cowboys were one of them, that this time last year believed the cap was only going to go up $10 million. So a lot of the...
But wait, Jerry Jones, with much arrogance and confidence, tells us, I'm basically plugged in, all right? Nobody knows the salary cap like I do. There's no other M or F-er that can general manage like I can. And the one thing I have down pat, all right, and he came off with this arrogance during the Schottenheimer press conference, I know the cap increase and you don't.
Yeah, and it's $16 million over what they thought, potentially. I mean, it's going to be as little as 14 over what they thought, as much as 6 or 12 and as much as 16. Either way, it was off. And that's, in some ways, you can look at it as, look on the bright side. There's more money, more flexibility. But the other end of it goes, why were your projections so off? Who was responsible for the projections? How does it compare to the rest of the league and how prepared they were for the bump? And how did it impact financial decisions you made? Like, if you knew you had $16 million extra, are you signing Derrick Henry last year?
Right.
That's the question that probably needs to be asked of Jerry next week in Indy.
So now let's spend it. Hang on, but
like, so why does it matter what their projections were? You could change things. It's not like, you know, they found out the salary cap was going up after free agency.
What do you mean, why does it matter? Like, why does it matter what their projections are for how much money they'll have to spend?
Well, yeah, because, like, you know, let's just say you find out yesterday that you have $12 million extra to spend in 3 weeks. That doesn't change anything for
Yes, it does. Because Derrick Henry, his first year cap charge, that was the whole point. His first year cap charge was low, and they were saying, you sign him to a 2-3 year deal, you're not going to be able to carry the weight of the bigger deal.
Oh, you're talking about future year. Okay, I thought you were talking about this year's offseason. Like, I don't... Yeah, okay. All
right, this year's offseason, yeah, they'll know the number, and then they'll go... How did you spend?
Yeah, how did the projection affect last year's offseason?
Well, they told us it affected them.
Well, I think they... Because, like, you know, to me, I'm just looking at it from that individual year. You know, the future years, there's no way to project the future years because you don't know what revenue is going to be like the future years.
But you have to. Like, I mean, you do have to project it out. Like, the Cowboys and all other teams, They will generally, so for instance, it's 2025. They probably have projections out right now till 29, because they've just got to have a baseline of here's how we're going to operate. Even if it's, I think most teams operate on a conservative end because they don't want to overestimate and then they're making big cuts. Green Bay had to do that a couple of years ago. So I think generally what they're doing is slightly underestimating, but I think the Cowboys thought it was 10, so they may have been operating like 8 as a bump or something like that. And that does impact how do you choose to split somebody's cap charge? How do you choose to front end somebody's money? And that's something that projection probably impacted things.
It doesn't matter anyway. They're not going to spend the money.
let's get down to it.
Let's be fair. They're just not going to spend the money either way. They don't have an extra $22 million. The NFL didn't inform the Cowboys in the league that they have an extra $22 million to spend. They inform the Cowboys that they get an extra $22 million.
Or, I mean,
in their pocket or wherever they want to do.
The Cowboys, the way the Cowboys probably view it, I would guess, is that's potentially $16 million worth of Dak's cap charge we don't have to restructure and can just eat on this season. That's how I would imagine they look at it.
Or is RJ maybe suggested, is this some wiggle room with Osa to play around with?
Maybe. Now, here's the thing. I don't know. Like I said, as of last summer, I know their projections were around 10. So that impacted how things were. But they may have gone through this season and those projections may have shifted. It wasn't really a discussion, so we don't know how it shifted. But if they did have a better idea, that they may have already been accounting for that with Osa. But I mean, this, as big a bump as this is, this bump only just now took the Cowboys' salary cap to break even. Because they were like $14 million in the red before this projection yesterday. So they were going to have to move around $14 million just to get to even. So all this does right now, it gets them to even. Now they still got to make moves just to free up money. So, I mean, that's why they've talked about how tight things can be around here. And the main point from that, though, is still, yeah, but it's kind of your fault in the way it was managed why it's tight.
Lawrence Taylor sitting down with the Outkick podcast. I believe this was in New Orleans, and Micah Parsons' name was brought up. LT said, quote, he's a great player, but guys, let's do more. Let's play more football and less podcasts, to which a lot of Cowboy fans absolutely loved hearing. And then the other portion of the Cowboys fan base said, oh, you mean like hookers and blow?
Yeah, like, you know. Now, listen, I don't think what Lawrence, this is like the same thing with Kellen Moore. Like Kellen Moore or any quarterback or any coach that was a failed player, just because they're a failed player doesn't mean they can't be a good coach. Just because you're a failed person doesn't mean that you can't be a good advisor. I don't care. You know
what I mean?
I look
at it a little different. I agree with the first part, but I don't know that Lawrence Taylor can be talking about what to do off the field when he was committing crimes off the field. You can't lecture me on like focus and offseason this and that when you're Lawrence Taylor. I can listen to Kellen Moore talk about X's and O's and the way he sees it. You know what I mean? One is like conducting yourself and the other is seeing something.
Because
I agree with your first part. I always have.
Can a parent who's gotten a DUI lecture their kids about drunk driving?
Well, yes. So do you look at that as the same thing?
Yeah, like I don't want a drug therapist who's never done drugs.
But gosh.
No, you see what I mean? Like, I don't want a marriage counselor who's never been married or divorced.
Haven't you said before, though, that like
a fat trainer.
But with your own, like with your own kids, haven't you said before that you're not going to tell the, well, I can't tell them not to do something if I did it.
Right. I mean, that's the approach I take.
So then Lawrence Taylor couldn't, if he had problems on the field, tell Micah?
Don't use my own logic against me. Okay, all right,
The hooker and blow stuff, that was meant to be a joke. What's the most important thing is, what does this actually do when Micah does these podcasts? Does it take away from his game? Or any of us, I've never sat here and there's been a lot of Micah Parsons questioning and criticism, but I haven't necessarily ever said out of my mouth, I don't think Micah Parsons is working hard. I don't think Micah Parsons is ready. We're never sitting there at training camp saying, Micah's huffing and puffing. He may not be in shape. We've never questioned that. So, you know, this is going to be a new generation, all-time sports discussion of, Does doing a podcast affect your game? Is it a distraction? Does it take away? And does any of it even matter? Because as we talked about with Aaron Rodgers, when the Jets apparently told him, if you want to come back, no more McAfee, do you even have the right to tell a player that these days, or are you just wasting your breath?
Yeah, I mean, it's a brave new world on that front. You're going to get all sorts of different questions that haven't ever existed for players before. But
Micah's podcast, to me, doesn't affect preparation. It maybe affects distraction.
Not from him, just
headlines that are created.
Right, headlines.
And again, I don't know. I would imagine if Mike Bacsik, especially the way he's been acting lately, decides to do a podcast while he's doing his Rangers TV job, it would probably create some issues for us within this building of Mike just spouting off and, you know, creating radio headlines.
But it wouldn't take away from his broadcasting of a game, right? In the game.
Right.
In the game. And look, this is Micah's, he does the podcast.
But if Mike did the podcast while in this building, it could affect him because of things said about Corey
right now, when he has to come back on the show.
Come back within his teammates.
Yeah, right. Because, like, you know, Micah does this on his off day, the podcast, mm-hmm. right? It's off day.
No
right?
problem.
Like, who works on their off day?
Yeah, but I mean, he does the podcast on his off day, but he does it in his function as the title that he likes to tell people of head of football content at Bleacher Report or whatever. I mean, that is a natural conflict that I think has come up for the Cowboys before, of just like, you're a football player and you're in season and you're supposed to be focusing on this. And then when you're the head of football content at Bleacher Report, a lot of your stuff that you're going to do there is driving engagement for your content and different things like that. And that's probably going to put you in a position to where you're going to feel like you need to say things or talk about things that the Cowboys view like are counter to being focused on the season.
Right.
And potentially if you're weighing in on, boy, the Giants are the dumbest team in the world for letting Saquon Barkley go, and you're saying that on your podcast, then you're playing the Giants in a couple weeks, some guys may be like, why are you saying that? Don't even talk about it. I think that is
or reasonable. Loving Jordan Love, right? Mm-hmm. Or having him right on, like, dude, this guy just kicked our ass. What are you doing? Why are you doing that? It's impossible to define on paper.
Yeah.
You know, you have to guess and have an opinion based on it affecting you. It's something in the air that you try to quantify.
Oh, I bet there are plenty of teammates and coaches and other people in the organization who don't even have an awareness of, I know Micah does a podcast. It doesn't bug me. It doesn't even. And then I'm sure there are other people.
What did Malik say about him? What was that thing between him and Hooker?
I don't remember what the statement was, but let me look it up.
Like, Diggs is totally fine with it. And Malik Hooker or Tank Lawrence may not be, to your point of being split in the building. But what did Malik say?
My advice for Micah would be just make sure we're all right and being where your feet are, because if we're at work and the run game's terrible, but you're doing a podcast every week and you know the run game's terrible, then what are you really caring about? And that was something that I think that was a tense point for those two past training camp.
So there's Lawrence Taylor saying, Micah Parsons, he's going to be a Hollywood actor one day. He's got the personality. I do want to add that for the context because I listened to the end of the clip, but saying, how about a little less podcast, a little more football?
And I mean, to be fair, not the podcast specifically, we were all saying the same things last offseason about his content trips to Japan and different things like that, about like, dude, why are you not in there learning a new defense and being around your new defensive coordinator and different things like that? Why are you off here doing these things and prioritizing that? And I'm sure, again, some teammates probably felt that way too.
877-881-1053 in order to give us your take and hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line here on DFW Sports Station. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt on 105.3 The Fan. Later on today, we have a Dierks Bentley ticket giveaway to hook you up with, but it is Thursday already, trying to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible, and that means it's the payload. Oh, why is a Texas Ranger trolling Luka Doncic? What is sticky eyes? And how you can already retire from your job before the age of 30. Peyton Russell has it all in the payload next on 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It's Thursday, 6:40. That means it's the payload time right here on 105.3 The Fan. And guys, Valentine's Day was last Friday, but we're going to make you fall in love today during this segment. We have a new trend for you, Sean.
One of you guys, by the way, when you recapture Valentine's Day, won out? I know who lost, but who won?
Well, Peyton was solo, man. He was all by himself.
Why?
Because I just want a weekend away from Mackenzie. No, she had to babysit all weekend, so she was out.
She had said, can I babysit and leave you alone on Valentine's Day like 3 months in advance? And he said yes, and then he was all bitter about it.
So no dinner beforehand, no gifts, no flowers?
No, I got her flowers when she came home Sunday, which they were half off when I got them Sunday, so thank goodness. We'll go to dinner tomorrow, I think, to kind of late celebrate. Mm.
We didn't get our usual flower delivery.
Nope, because you weren't here. You're the one who got them up here initially. I was the one who won because I was the only one who went out and did anything.
What'd you do?
We went to Whiskey and Smoke, which was one of her favorite spots, and I didn't know how to eat French onion soup, and I had to Google, do I use utensils on a charcuterie board, and it was embarrassing. It was bad.
And what did you do besides the funeral bouquet?
Well, we did our Valentine's the week before because I had the kids last weekend, so we went out the weekend before.
Okay.
But yeah, last week I had the boys. What did we do on Friday? I don't even know what we did. We had dinner at my mom's, so she had the whole family over. It was
what'd she make?
Ham. She made a ham. Ham and some fixins.
Fixins.
Yep.
So guys, we have a trend for you, for all you people that just like to stare down your prey while you're at the bar in public. You know, a lot of people are like stares. They find someone pretty attractive and they look at them and they just can't keep their eyes off them. So we got a new trend for y'all.
Phrase in these times.
you see a cute girl, this trend's perfect for you. So it's a life hack. It's called sticky eyes. It's all those people that, you know, you have the awkward eye contact. You know, you look at someone, they quickly look at you, and you're like, oh, crap, what do? I got to look away. It's now a trend that can actually benefit you. So you know what? Let's try it out here. I want Bobby and RJ to try this out.
Okay.
All right. So, Bobby, you look at RJ like you're in love with him. But, RJ, you look away. Don't look at him in the eyes. You look off to Sean. Like, you know, you're looking at him. You're looking him up and down, checking out his beard. So, RJ or Bobby, you keep looking at RJ. Now, RJ, you look right at Bobby in his eyes. And then, Bobby, you look away immediately. You're caught. You look away immediately. And RJ keeps looking at him like, okay, what are you looking at here? Now, RJ, you look away. Oh, this is perfect. Now, Bobby, slowly look back at RJ like you're like, okay, I'm going back for a double look here. And then when RJ looks back at you, don't look away. You just stare him down until he stops making eye contact with you. And then when RJ looks away, if this trend works, you guys will be in love by the end of the night. So there you go. It's the eye contact away. Because who's going to look away first when you look back at him? I think it's fine.
You know what? I can see how I could see this.
And you know what? If it doesn't work out, then you know you're probably going to not go home with the girl anyway that night. So you know what? You just go about your business.
That's the key. You know, the people who have the ability to do the most difficult move in all the world, which is the walk across the room.
Yeah.
It's the most difficult move in the world. The people with the ability to do that, they take the approach, I'm already not with her.
Yep.
So what do I have to lose? I don't know. Humility?
Yeah.
Ego?
I always have to dart my eyes away from Sean in the middle of the segment because if I make too long of eye contact while he's talking, he thinks I have I've got something. And so then I'm like, oh, but I don't want him to think to like toss it over. I don't have like a point I need to make.
So sticky eyes.
Sticky eyes. You're looking at them. You know, you kind of do a double take. You look away if you get caught, and then you're supposed to look back at them. And like now you're serious. Now you're telling them, hey, I'm serious about you. I'm not looking away till you look away.
Yeah, I feel like if she gives you the second look, like there's the accidental eye contact, and then if she gives you the second look. That can be your green light to try. Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
Now, this is a girl on TikTok. It has, you know, millions of views on this whole thing. She has a whole bunch of life hacks, but this one, she says it'll work out for you in the bar most of the time, she says. So, you know what? If you're at the bar, you're single, you know, it's something you can try out. But yeah, sticky eyes there. So even if you're alone here, go to the bar, look at some girl in the eye. You know, if you're part of the eye contact game there, you know,
try it at the gym, see how fast you get kicked out.
Oh, does it work at the gym?
No, I'm saying you could probably get kicked out. They could complain about you. You'd be caught in a video. I don't look at anybody in the gym. There's always a camera. If some girl has a camera set up in the gym, I'm leaving.
There's a lot of tripods out there.
You are not getting me caught. You're not getting me caught looking.
What percentage of people are filming themselves?
You'd be stunned. You'd be stunned. Fortunately, the time I go, it's all older people, so like not many, but every time there's like a college age girl there or whatever, or a college age guy, they have a tripod out.
Because it's all about form they're trying to check or whatever.
Oh, they're trying to post
on. They're trying to post their ass.
Yeah.
Show off their rear end.
Jeez. All right.
Tolo Caesar, I got to unfollow him because it's just thirst trapping everywhere with all his clients every day. I'm like, are you working at a gym or a... Are you a baby dolls? Like, what's going on over here?
All right. It is Thursday. It is the payload. Our next topic, Nathaniel Lowe. Former Ranger. He's in D.C. now. Good luck out there, Nate Lowe.
Peyton's been waiting for something like this.
Nathaniel Lowe, he's about to have a billboard in Dallas, just like the Fire Nico ones, for what he tried to pull the other day. Now, sure, it is an overreaction, maybe, but, you know, you be the judge here on the audio clip. It's a very sensitive subject here. Nathaniel Lowe is on the Chris Rose podcast, and he was showing off his World Series ring. And he took some unnecessary shots at Luka, and you be the judge here.
Let me go out of frame for like 10 seconds. Because I'm sure your guests come back with surprises, because Luka is not sporting one of those. Luka's not sporting one of those. You know, no knock. He had a fabulous Dallas sports career, but yeah.
Just a little hit. It's too soon, Nate. Too soon.
Now, I don't know what the setup before that was, but they had to be talking about Luka, but... He went, and then he showed off the ring. It was freaking sick. I forgot all the features that this thing had. You can flip, like, the little circle.
It's a blue to a white one.
A blue to a white. It's got part of a World Series baseball inside of it. It's got all the road stats when you take off one of the screws. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me how amazing the ring was. But, yeah, why did he bring up Luka Doncic?
That was a low blow, man. He didn't need to do that. I like Nate Lowe. I usually support Nate Lowe, but this is
Nate Lowe blow.
Yeah, thanks for your your contribution. That wonderful 657 OPS along the World Series run. You black hole, shut the hell up about Luka Doncic.
He was not a black hole. He had big hits. He had big hits during the year.
But you don't remember? He was absolutely considered a black hole during that run because he got the one home run. Remember, he like pumps his fist like, "Yes, I made contact with the baseball."
Yep. Joey Washington. You can make your jokes about, well, not Kyle Kuzma now. Didn't Kuzma get dealt?
Yeah.
Kristaps, no, not Porzingis.
Not Porzingis.
Who's on the Wizards? Give me someone. Can anyone name a Washington Wizard?
It's Sar. Alex Sar.
Okay.
Oh, Juwan Howard. That's it.
Man, have we talked about any of these top draft picks this year one time?
I don't think so.
Give me two of the top three picks.
Richiche was number one.
And who's he play for?
I have no idea.
The Raptors. I don't know.
I don't think it's the Raptors.
No.
And then
I think it's Sar. The Hawks.
Yeah, I think it's Atlanta. And then Sar was number two.
So Nathaniel Lowe, he's the guy.
I couldn't tell you who number three was.
Nate Lowe's the guy in the group pod project that doesn't do anything but still gets an A on the assignment. And then it's like, you know, I did it, guys. I did it. Here he is on, you know, a podcast showing off his World Series ring.
Dillingham was third, I think.
Sure.
It was either Dillingham or the other guy from Kentucky.
And at first with this Nate Lowe stuff, I didn't take a whole lot from it, but like a lot of Mavs fans in the comment section were going after him. Screw you, guy. You know, you were nothing a part of this World Series team. You were carried by your teammates. So enjoy last place in Washington, D.C., Nate. All right, guys. It's Thursday, the payload. Let's talk a little Gen Z. Now, RJ, I know this is your favorite generation here, but I actually kind of agree with what they're going with here. It's called a mini retirement. If you want to have a little mini retirement, you know, because all of us, we want to retire early. You know, it's all, what's the age? Is 65, 70? Is that usually right around there? So, you know, it's like, hey, if you can retire at 60 or a little earlier, like, I'm all for it. You know, you start looking at the 401k and all that stuff earlier in life. Mm-hmm. But Gen Z might be onto something with this. We've heard about their quiet quitting. You know, they try to change the work week, you know, make 9-to-5s a little shorter. But now they're quietly going into retirement a little early. They call it mini retirement. This is where you work for a few years and then take a year or so off to just relax. So it's like, let's say you graduate college, you're 22, 23, you work for 3 or 4 years, and you're like, you know what? I've worked enough. Let me take a year off. I've saved up some money and just relax. And it's like, you can get to, it's a little easier, I guess, to get to retirement if you're taking a year off. It makes, I guess, a little less stressful. Because if you look at the big picture.
Yeah, you get to retirement with a year off, but there's no income being generated. Are we assuming you're staying employed at this place and they're just letting you take a year off?
No.
That's a big question.
Yeah, you quit, so you work for 3 or 4 years. You're living at home with your parents, where you're saving up some cash, and then you quit.
Okay.
All right. And then you take 6 months, a year. You have that nest egg that you're able to spend, and then you find another job. And then you work for the other 3 or 4 years, and then you do the same thing, you quit. And you just retire for however long you want. It doesn't have to be a year. It could be until the money runs out, then you get another job.
The lengths that generation goes to just not work. Do the standard amount of work that everyone else has done throughout the entirety of history blows me away every time.
They probably will have less stress-related heart attacks.
But it's stressful to not have a job, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We've all thought many times about leaving and going somewhere else possibly, but that's terrifying. Like when you're in that moment and it's time to maybe pull the trigger, are you actually going to do it? That's the stressful part for me.
Yeah,
the stress is thinking about not having the next move. Now, when I was 17, 18, 19, I didn't care. 2021, I'm like, yeah, I'll go to Rockford, Illinois. I'll go to, you know, Baltimore. I'll go here. I'll go there. I was willing to move anywhere, but like having the job is kind of the important piece.
It's an important piece, especially when you have kids. The funny thing that on the fan techs are saying, you know, Gen Z, this is another thing that they think they invented. This is also called a sabbatical.
Oh.
Yeah, right? College kids invented this. I need a Euro trip, mommy. I need to travel.
Well, I should have done that. I should have done the gap year.
How many people have done that? What are you going to do when your kids say, I need a backpack. I need a backpack through Europe.
Like, I feel like, yeah, this was considered 20 years ago. If you would have said this would have been considered, you're spoiled. Like, that's what people even around the same age would have said, like, oh, spoiled. Like, you just get to go spend a year off. Now they treat it like people from that generation go, like, good for you. Like, just really prioritizing how you
feel. It's the mental health thing. Like, I went to Cabo with a couple teachers, and they're like, yeah, we're sick. And I was like, well, what happens if you get caught? Like, you're posting pictures and everything. And they're like, you know what? If it comes down to it and they grill us, I'll say, I needed to work on my mental health. And I'm like, it's the same thing as, like, I need a break. I'm stressed. I need a getaway. I need a little relaxation. We just renamed a lot of that. Now, there are serious mental health issues, but as usual, people abuse it and go overboard and over the line. They're like, no, I need a mental health break. It's like, yo, I need to chill for a second. It's just the way you rename it seriously.
You're just renaming it. That's all you're doing. You're renaming things, which, I mean, look, I'm sure we rename things.
DEI was EEO.
Yeah.
Period. It was equal opportunity employer. Yeah. When someone leaves here, we have to post it, equal opportunity employment, then DEI, and the world explodes. And planes.
Planes. There you go. That's key.
But yeah, look, there's a lot of pros and cons of this, but this one, it's like I'm kind of behind because, yeah, whenever I first graduated college, I'm like, all right, I'm 22. I'm going to be doing this work stuff for 43, 44 years. You know, and I'm already behind apparently on my 401k. I was looking up something the other day. It's like, it gives you the age range and what your 401k should be like. It's like, I'm like $70,000 short on my 401k apparently. You're supposed to have almost 100 grand at 28, 29.
Ooh.
No way.
I mean, very few at 28, 29 have that.
It makes sense what they want to do because, like, there are, I know some companies, I won't name them. Every 5 years that you work there, they make you take a month off. They force you to take a 30-day sabbatical. They're like financial institutions, like super, like, you're intense. Every 5 years, you got to take a month off.
Well, CC Gavin spit on that one then.
All right. There you go. I don't think it's an Odyssey plan.
Oh, it's not.
Or it's like us when you're studying for the SAT and you're like, I need a little break. And the parents would always be like, hey, you're being lazy. No, you don't need a break. You keep studying. And then you say that today that there's no burnout factor. And oh my gosh, that would cause unemployment rates to skyrocket. You need to factor in my burnout for the breaks and the timeouts, which people do need some breaks or mental health relaxation. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up. Nice job, Peyton Russell, with the payload on DFW Sports Station. No matter whether you like or love the sport, tonight we're all watching hockey. Has the NHL even figured it out over the NBA? The mega event that everyone's going to be talking about tonight and tomorrow after this.